Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 103. I won't read all of it. It's 22 verses, but I'll hit a few. It's a psalm of David. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Verse 10 through 13. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And actually, let's stop here. I'll read more in a bit, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you. We know that from you, from heaven, comes all good things. And Lord, we look up. And Lord, we thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for healing when we have diseases. We thank you that you've redeemed our life from destruction. We're so thankful for the things that you've done for us and made available unto us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is part 15 of our study in John the Baptist. John was a rough preacher. The clothes he wore, the things he said, the things he ate, he was rough. And his message, when we get to it, for instance in Matthew chapter 3, is hard. It's rough. But John chapter 1, we've been on this for a little while. It says that Jesus came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own, the Jews, and they received him not. But verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name." Again, when we get to it, you'll see that John is a rough preacher, and the message is hard. When he sticks his bony finger in the Pharisee's face and said, "You're not doing right, and your religion is wrong, and your religious rules, they don't help anybody at all. You need to repent," he said. It's a hard message. But we need to remember the context. The context is that God loves us. And God wants all of us to go to heaven. It's necessary to repent. It's necessary to say, "God, you're right, and I've been wrong all this time. It's necessary that we change our ways, that we surrender to God, we believe that Jesus died for us, and then we live a changed life, which is what I said last week. But I opened today's message with Psalm 103. The Psalms are unique in that they're such a blessing. I hope you have a Bible. And if you don't, there's 100 different Bible apps you could install on your phone. But if you never read the Bible, at least read the Psalms. Take one a day. Start there. Take one a week to do something. But the Psalms are such a wonderful resource of comfort from heaven. Just look at the wonderful things he says, that he forgives all of our sins. And I know that we don't really believe it anymore, but God, he's the God that heals all our diseases if we trust him. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. It says, Psalm 103, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And this word fear, it's not to cower behind the sofa or whatever afraid. It's to reverence, to show respect. We kicked the British out in 1776, but we understand that the British, they're a monarchy. They have a queen. And if the queen passes in front of you, you're supposed to bow or curtsy or whatever the case. And we've seen this on TV. Other nations have kings, and we've seen this in the movies since we were kids, that you bow before the king, you show reverence to the king. That's what the idea of fearing God is, not to be afraid of him, but to show reverence. But so great is his mercy toward them that reverence him. Verse 13, "As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that reverence him or fear him." Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear and reverence him." This psalm shows God's goodness and mercy and loving kindness and tender mercies. For surely those qualities were in his heart when he sent his son to die for the sins, our sins, so that we could be forgiven as we turn to God and repent and believe, and so that we could go to heaven. John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'd like to read a couple of passages from Revelation. It's at the end of the Bible, in fact, the last two chapters. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1 through 7. John, the guy that wrote the book of John, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, he wrote the Gospel of John, and then the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. So John is speaking. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. In other words, heaven comes to earth, and God will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, the things that we know here on earth, all of the bad things on earth are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, It is done. Just like Jesus on the cross, right before he died, he said, It's finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's read verse 6 again. I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of water of life. If what I've read in Psalm 103 sounds good, that God will forgive us when we do wrong, that God will heal us if we're sick, if we trust in him, that God shows kindness and tender mercies, and then when we get to heaven, he'll wipe away all our tears, and death will be gone, and politicians will be gone, hallelujah, and sorrow and crying and pain, all gone away, all passed away. If you want that, if you're thirsty in your soul, man, I'm tired of this world and the way it is. I wish things were better. Well, they can be. They can be. And you can have heaven in your soul. If you're thirsty, come and drink of the water of life freely. And you can become a son of God. Let's go to the next chapter, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You go to the river, you look in, it's like, oh, that's muddy. If you've ever been to the Bahamas or anything like that, or, hey, I don't know, Pensacola. Pensacola's not bad. The water is clear. But in heaven, out of God's throne, there's a river that comes out of God's throne, clear as crystal. Crystal clear. And it's the river of water of life. And it's pure. And it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. But it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. And it had 12 different kinds of fruits, and each month had a different fruit. And the leaves of the tree, it says, were for the healing of the nations. I hate the news. I can't stand watching it. But we've all seen it. if there's war or there's corruption or there's any number of horrible things or shootings every night in Chicago or whatever, or in, here in New Orleans, or whatever the case. This world needs to be healed. And God says, and we just read it in the last chapter, that all things have passed away and all things have become new. There won't be any gangbanging in heaven. There won't be no thieves, no crooked politicians. I'll say it again, hallelujah. Everything we wish we had here on earth is going to be in heaven. But I'll say it again, you can be a son of God. God will give you that power to become a son of God, and he will put heaven in our souls. He will fill our hearts with goodness and gladness and singing instead of depression and cursing, etc. God can change us. And he has changed me. November 30th, 1984, at 1:45 in the afternoon in my dorm room at LSU. God changed me. God put heaven in my soul. And he can do it for you. He can do it for you. But let's move on a little bit. He said in John chapter 1, verse 12, that we can become a son of God. But it says in verse 13, these sons of God, they were born. Again, we talked about that last week. There's the first birth, but then there's the second birth. You can be born again, but not of blood, it says, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man. No effort on our part will affect salvation, because salvation is of God, not of blood. You know, God has no grandchildren. If grandma's a Christian, great. If mama's a Christian, great. But you need to become a Christian. You don't go to heaven through blood. You need to be born again. You need to do business with God yourself. Heaven, there's no blood relation. There's a spiritual relationship with God, but he has no grandchildren. But to be born again, it says, not by the will of the flesh or by the will of man, and we talked about that a little bit last week, but I want to draw your attention to something. God calls us. Jesus said to his disciples or apostles and to others and to us today, follow me. God calls us to be Christians. But about those apostles, there were the 12, but then later on in the book of Acts, God called others. And one was the Apostle Paul. And about half the New Testament was written by Paul, depending on which books you count. But again, God calls us to follow him. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, he starts his letter and says, hey, I'm Paul. I'm called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Or, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, and not of the will of man,
but of God. You see the parallel. We're born again not by willpower, not because we decided. And Paul was called by Jesus Christ to be an apostle not because he wanted to, and that's apparent by reading the story, the Road to Damascus experience. It wasn't his choice to be an apostle. It wasn't his choice to be a Christian. He hated Christians. But he says, I'm called to be an apostle because it was God's will and by God's means. And we talked about that last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Ephesians chapter 1, same thing. Broken record here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. 2 Timothy, guess what? By the will of God. My point, salvation is not our idea. To become a Christian is not our idea. And furthermore, those that God calls into the ministry, it wasn't their idea. Now, there's a great many preachers that they said, hey, I want to be a preacher, and they went to seminary and became that. But I'm talking about true men of God. They're called by the will of God. But again, salvation and the born-again experience, like we said last week, it's not about church, but it's by the power of God.
Even
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.